Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta. Do you remember the first time you saw Psycho? And no, I'm not talking about Gus Van Sant's 1998 version, which is pretty much a shot-for-shot remake. I'm talking about Alfred Hitchcock's original 1960 version. Hitch really broke the rules with this one. About 47 minutes into the film, Janet Leigh's character, Marion Crane, dies. It's not just when Marion Crane dies in the film, but how. In that groundbreaking, horrifying shower scene. Alexander Philippe is the director of the documentary 7852, Hitchcock's Shower Scene. 78 shots and 52 cuts that changed cinema forever. He joins us to talk about this classic scene.
Psycho comes out at this period where we're post-atomic age, but pre-civil rights. You know, if you think about the horror movie violence, they were science gone wrong, but you didn't really feel like it was going to happen to you. Psycho, you felt could happen to you. This was the first movie that showed, yeah, you can be vulnerable, naked, alone in a shower, and someone who is wearing the clothes of their dead mother is going to come in and just stab you, because that's what they're going to do.
I once made a movie, rather tongue-in-cheek, called Psycho.
Yes.
And it was a big joke, you know. And I was horrified to find that some people took it seriously. It was intended to cause people to scream and yell and so forth, but no more than the screaming and yelling on the switchback railway.
This is a guy who really touched upon themes and ideas and motifs that were so profound and so resonant that you can literally lose yourself, I think, in the layers of meaning. Psycho, just looking at the shower scene, or, you know, Vertigo, which I think is the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah, me too.
You can only be in awe, you know, of that kind of work. It almost feels like it's like supernatural. It's not a human being should not be allowed or not be capable, really, of making a movie like this, you know?
Yeah. So you keep having epiphanies, keep making discoveries.
Oh, all the time, of course.
Is there an example of a discovery that you made while you were working on the documentary?
I started sort of looking at this idea of point of view in the shower scene.
Mm-hmm.
One question that I think is very interesting to me is, why did audiences freak out in 1960 when they watched this film? Well, sure, we talk a lot about the editing and the fact that it was very quick cutting to the point where audiences were not really used to that at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was a new sort of cinematic language. But if you look at the murder itself, you have a number of shots that are from the point of view of the victim, you know, so you're literally being assaulted. You have a number of shots where you're the murderer, you're assaulting Janet Leigh or Marley Renfro, whoever you're looking at. It's because it's all an illusion, of course.
Marley Renfro, the body double.
There are moments where you are the voyeur, moments where you're the spectator, moments where you are literally sort of a removed, almost the eye of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these sort of interesting directorial angles, like the low angle shot looking up at the silhouette of Mother. What is this? Is this Hitchcock inserting himself into the narrative? So you have all these different points of view in the shower scene. And so what he's doing in 45 seconds, he literally splits your personality. He turns you into all of these different people at the same time. He turns you into the psycho.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
My idea, my theory is that, you know, because when you watch Psycho for the first time, you know, the first 40 or so minutes, Marion does something that is kind of psycho. It's completely out of character. And then she decides to return the money. So you can certainly make the argument, well, you know, Marion is the psycho. Well, wait a minute. No, it's actually Norman Bates. But I think really, to me, what Hitchcock did, and that's his greatest trick, is that he turned us all into the proverbial psycho.
We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
That's a great theory, and I dare say I think you're right. You kind of did it there, but I want to more specifically ask you, because you include so many editors, like the great Walter Murch in your film, which is appropriate, given how important the editing of the shower scene was in its impact and its power, you have editors, especially Murch, kind of do it in your film, but can you give us kind of a blow-by-blow account of how the shower scene was constructed in the editing suite?
Well, you know, what's really interesting in terms of the way that it was constructed, because, you know, Hitchcock devised 78 setups, which, of course, they ultimately ended up filming over 7 days. There is still a fair amount of mystery around how the scene was constructed, in the sense that he really gave the footage to Tomasini, and Tomasini came back with a cut.
Yeah, George Tomasini, the editor, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of, obviously, a lot of conversation prior to that. But Tomasini had a certain amount of freedom in sort of cutting it. Obviously, he had the storyboards from Saul Bass. But what's really interesting when you start comparing the actual shots with the storyboards is that some of them are carbon copies, but some of them are very, very different as well. So I think Hitch really started changing things or reinterpreting the storyboards on the set. But the magic of sort of how many frames were used for each shot, Tomasini has to be credited for a lot of that.
One of the most remarkable things about it is that Hitchcock originally, he did not want any music to accompany the shower scene, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and didn't the composer Bernard Herrmann had to talk him into it, right?
Well, yeah, because when Tomasini actually screened the shower scene for the first time, for Hitchcock, without music, it just didn't work. You know, he wasn't happy. And at that point, he was actually so disappointed that he was strongly considering cutting the film down to an hour and making it part of his TV show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents,
wow,
which would have been just a tragedy.
The way that music was used in movies to scare people really changed after Psycho. If you want to make something scary, you put in those strings, and you're like, dit, 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 dit. If you slow it down, you get da-dun, da-dun.
What I think is also absolutely genius about the shower scene is that the way Herrmann spotted it, the spotting is deciding when do you start a cue, when do you end a cue. It starts with the toilet flushing. She steps into the shower. There is no music at all whatsoever. This composer does not prepare us for the onslaught that is about to happen. When Janet Leigh walks into the shower and she pulls the curtain closed, you can actually hear the sound of the rings on the bar, that, and it goes whoot. You see the villain coming through. No music, no music at all. The curtain gets swapped aside. We get the first sting. Da, 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 da. This is the rush of Janet Leigh's heartbeat. From the moment that we as an audience completely realize, okay, this girl is being brutally butchered here, and we see this, and the music goes, she falls to the floor. The heartbeat slows because she's dying. And then in her last gasp, that music basically leaves her, and all we have is the sound of the falling curtain and her head smacking to the ground. How genius is that? That's Herrmann. That's not Hitch. That's Bernie.
Hitchcock and Tomasini knew exactly where the audience was looking. They ended up working the disorientation, drawing you into Marion's sense of confusion and terror. Every single cut that Tomasini does is you, by the time you caught up to what you're looking at in the new shot, he's already cut to another shot.
It's a kaleidoscope of these images crashing into your cranium, but it's very planned, and it feels that way. It's order and chaos come crashing up against each other.
There's this great sequence in your documentary in which you explore how they created the stabbing sounds of the knife going into Marion Crane's body for the shower scene. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so Hitchcock actually had a bunch of melons brought on set, and he had them stabbed, and he closed his eyes while they were stabbing the melons, and he just said one word. He said, cassava.
I think the whole key to the sound of the cassava melon is that the inner gooey part is very small, and there's a very thick layer of fruit that you have to stab through.
It's very dense.
It's dense.
Not hollow, like a lot of the other melons sounded a little bit hollow. And I'm sure with his eyes closed, Hitchcock was probably hearing that.
Having finished the film, now when you watch Psycho, does it change the way you experience watching the film?
I haven't reached the bottom of it. I don't think you can reach the bottom of that shower scene. I think every time you watch it, there's something new. There's new reflections. There's new ideas. There's new things that I want to kind of explore. So I'm not done with it, and certainly not done with Hitchcock for... hopefully for the rest of my life.
Alfred Hitchcock, what are you doing to our minds? I get the feeling that you're unkind. I read what you said.
I read what you said.
You wanna
Alexander Philippe is the director of 7852, Hitchcock's shower scene. 78 shots and 52 cuts that changed cinema forever.